Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we'll be going over our week 8 slate of games. This was the last week of the regular season. Tons of exciting action between the CSFL and the MSFL. MSFL, those games had a lot of playoff implications. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. We'll start with the CSFL. First game on the lineup, we have Navy versus Penn. Navy won this one 33-7. My player of the game is senior quarterback Brandon Atwood. He threw for 239 yards with 3 passing touchdowns, added 52 rushing yards with 1 rushing touchdown. So Navy secures their spot in the CSFL championship game. Started off slow in this one, but got things rolling as the game went on. Again, Atwood had himself a strong night to close out the regular season of his career. Really strong game from the quarterback. He's been a consistent force for Navy throughout the year. Again, his legs are probably really, really underrated. Isn't quite as explosive as a Cassid Raymond, but he is definitely going to be effective rushing the ball when his number is called, and he did just that in this game. Some timely runs, some runs to extend the drive, get the first down. Also had a lot of yards running sideways. You know, he may only have rushed for officially 52 yards, but he extended a ton of plays, just keeping his eyes downfield and managing to find guys, you know, in that second act of a play, after guys maybe have broken off of their original route and they're just trying to find open space. He's really good at extending plays like that and finding guys down the field to keep the drive going. His biggest target on the night was senior wide receiver Andrew Margiotta, who has been somewhat quiet this season, but had the biggest game of his senior year. 5 receptions, 89 yards, 1 touchdown. Again, a guy who is probably going to go down as their best receiver ever. Hasn't had quite the senior year, one would expect, but again, is still going to be a piece for them going into this championship game as a guy who can go off and is going to be able to make plays on really good corners. His career is going to be unquestionable, and I expect him to really be a major piece in this final game of his career in this championship game in the CSFL. Senior wide receiver Kai Sasaki added 5 receptions, 63 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. He has been a welcomed piece to the wide receiver room for Navy this year. On defense, senior linebacker Jack Costigan led the team with 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 fumble recovery. And then junior defensive lineman David Niske added 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack, and also 1 fumble recovery. So strong outing by Navy, both sides of the ball. Stable of running backs was very, very effective as well. The freshmen they have there, Genix, as well as Tyler Mencina, and some of their other guys that they allowed to tote the pill as well. Very effective stable of running backs. So Navy heads to Army next week to play in the CSFL championship game to end the season for the CSFL. I'll probably do a little pregame write-up in anticipation of that game. So it should be an eventful weekend next week. Other side of this one, we have Penn. Penn kept things close early, but you know, the offense has been what it's been this season. And then the turnovers just kept them out of the game. Couple fumbles throughout the game. A fumble, I believe, on the first play of their first drive from one of their running backs. Just didn't do themselves any service in an attempt to win the game. Junior quarterback Ty Scher threw for 74 yards with 1 touchdown. Touchdown came late in the fourth quarter. So, garbage time touchdown is the situation with that. Passing game just has not been what you would expect from a Penn program. Again, the run of just great quarterbacks had to end at some time. We've talked about, you know, Bustler to McCurdy to Jenkins, and then Jenkins to Paolini. Was very underrated. It just continued along line of a very successful quarterbacks. Just it appears that streak has ended. Not to put it all on Sure, but you know, he just hasn't been able to live up to the standard of quarterback play that they've had there for, you know, over a decade, as well as standard of wide receiver play. You know, it hasn't been the most talented wide receiver room they've ever had. you just look at guys they've had in the past, like Aiden Kelly and Henry Mason, Brandon McCaffrey, Marcus Jones, you know, all of those type of guys who really left a legacy, you know, in the CSFL. They just don't have a guy like that right now. They did have a guy like that in Jake Wang, who unfortunately was hurt for the season and was out for the season. But, you know, the guys they do have who were able to suit up this year just have not been able to get the job done consistently. So it'll be interesting to see how they grow and develop as the years go on. Defensively is where Penn has made, you know, all their money this season. The defense has still been very, very good. You know, not necessarily the best they've ever had, but you're always going to get good to great front four play, and then you're going to get, at bare minimum, really, really good linebacker play from the guys that they've had there. They've always had strong linebackers in that 3-4 defense. Their most impressive player of the year, you know, has to be probably one of those front four guys, and that's defensive lineman Cam Janik. He's been one of the brightest spots for the Quakers this year. He led the team in this game with 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. He was definitely a guy I had noted as a standout, you know, when it comes to the front four players. And he has produced throughout the year. So they definitely have a few gems. Charles Taukes as a linebacker is another guy. Jake Nsira has been pretty consistent since he's entered the CSFL. So they still have some guys who are hitting their stride, particularly as they turn into upperclassmen. On the defensive side of the ball, it'll just be interesting to see if they can ever get that offense to match up and mesh to create a strong team on both sides of the ball. So Penn ends their season with a 2-4 record. Other side of the weekend, we had Stack versus Cornell. Stack wins this one 42-21. My player of the game is freshman wide receiver Nyheer Jones. He ended the game with 3 receptions, 38 yards, also 89 yards as a kick returner and a kick return touchdown. Stack set the tone early in this one. Again, a kick return touchdown from Nyheer Jones to open up the game. You know, really lets you know, the type of mentality we're coming to the game with, set the tone. And after that, both sides of the ball for the Spartans just did not let up. Junior quarterback Ryan Kenny, finished his season with a 146-yard, 2 touchdown performance. Kenny has been hyper impressive throughout the season. He's been a major reason for the Spartans' improvement as a program. They've had a quarterback before him who was no longer with the program, who was very, very talented as well. But ever since Kenny has taken over, similar effect to a Frank DeMayo for Caldwell, Kenny's captained the ship for the winningest era of St. Thomas Aquinas football in their program history. So definitely something to be said there for his talent. One of the best arm talents between the CSFL and the MSFL. You know, there's not a lot of guys who can heave it as far as he can with some accuracy as well. A very strong arm, very live arm. Ball jumps out of his hand when he throws it. I put him, Tomas Taylor for Fompon, and maybe Mikael Wilkie, and then Cassid Raymond. It's just that group of guys with the livest arm in terms of arm strength and being able to really sling it and rip it. You know, he's near the top of that list, certainly, for sure. And it, you know, it's definitely improved their prospects, you know, as a program. You know, definitely been in a lot more games than they've been in years past in these last 2 seasons. And they've experienced a lot of success with him at quarterback. So I know they'll be looking forward to him having a strong senior year next season. Some of the seniors who will be leaving the Spartans program had big games in their final game. Senior running back Bo Maroney had one of the better games of his career to finish his time with the program. He had 80 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. And then senior athlete Reno Molina, who's just been electrifying in the last 2 or 3 seasons, did just that in this game. He had 37 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. So over 100 all-purpose yards for him in his final game as a Spartan. He's been a guy who's been able to provide a lot of juice for the offense. Again, sometimes carrying the ball in between the tackles, off tackle sweeps, things of that nature, and then just being a legitimate receiver for them. And he's been one of the leaders in yards after the catch in the CSFL just the last 2 seasons. A lot of his touchdowns are shorter, routes that he turns into long touchdowns. Your out routes, crossing routes, bounce routes, pivots, things like that. Catching the ball out of the backfield, being in the slot, and just, you know, just putting it right on him, telling him to go wiggle and shake, make something happen. He's been one of the most electrifying players in the CSFL in the last few years. So he wrapped up an excellent career. Also may add, Molina is a very talented lacrosse player as well for the Spartans. It's testament to the type of athletes we have on a lot of these teams to where he's one of the better lacrosse players for St. Thomas Aquinas as well. So I know he'd be looking forward to having strong lacrosse season to end his collegiate career. So definitely a strong finish for Molina in the CSFL. Defensive side of the ball, senior defensive back JT Perry led the team in tackles with 7, also had 1 tackle for loss. He's been a guy who's been a major contributor down the stretch for St. Thomas Aquinas. And then senior linebacker Esmond Oldhams had 5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Also had an interception, which he returned for a touchdown to really put the game out of reach for Cornell. So St. Thomas Aquinas finishes their season with a 4-3 record and as one of the best offenses in the CSFL this year. Other side of this one, we have Cornell. Cornell was not able to offer much resistance in this one. You know, it's been no secret that this year they have struggled offensively and defensively, struggled mightily for the last few seasons. You know, a lack of quality offensive players and needle movers on defense has left them in a situation where they've been the underdog in every game they've played this year. You know, I think that's safe to say. I think you can say that, and that's being objectively fair. Junior quarterback Charles Sanger Tritch got the start at quarterback. He ended the game with 105 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Junior athlete Evan Nicholas led the team on the ground with 74 rushing yards. You know, Nicholas has been probably their single best player the last 3 seasons. He's played offense as a receiver. He's been a defensive back as a safety and a corner. And he's been an emergency quarterback and sometimes the most effective quarterback that they've had. I would really like to see him. Like, he's very, very talented. They've had guys like this in the past where they have a uber talented guy or a competitively talented guy compared to his peers at that position across the league. But they can never really utilize it to its full potential. A few years ago, they had a young man named Will Griffin who was one of the best players I ever suited up against. Multi-purpose type of back, you know, in your same mold as like a Terrence Quaker or a Reno Molina. Catch the ball, run the ball. He was by far the best player, but they were so devoid of talent around him. He ultimately had his career ended prematurely due to a gruesome injury because there's just nothing around him to block, to catch, to do anything like that. So Nicholas is in a similar position where, you know, he's so talented on a team devoid of talent, you almost have to use him on offense, but he's one of their best defensive players as well. So he doesn't really have great career statistics on either side of the ball because his attention has been pulled to both sides of the ball. So he can never really find a consistent niche. I think he'd be one of the leaders in, you know, receptions, yards, and touchdowns over the last 3 to 4 years if he exclusively played receiver. I think he'd be a leader in interceptions if he exclusively played defensive back. But, you know, his career numbers are never going to be the highest. But he is objectively probably their most physically talented player. And he showed that in this game by, you know, playing both sides of the ball and leading the team in rushing. So hopefully they can figure out something to do with him that'll be able to produce some positive offensive production or get some other guys around him so defensively he can shine a little bit more and ultimately propel them to successful football and potentially some wins. Because they ended their season this year with an 0-6 record. Senior linebacker Billy Turner led the team in tackles. He added 7 with 1 tackle for loss. So, yeah, Cornell ends their season with a 0-6 record. You know, hopefully with new leadership, they'll be able to get some some more talented guys, some guys who'll be able to contribute to winning in a positive way, and hopefully get some needle movers in terms of individual players who can provide some individual effort that could put them in a more positive light in the CSFL. Next up, we have Army versus Caldwell. Army wins this one 35-7. My player of the game is freshman running back Arthur Lavalis. He finished the game with 87 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So Army wraps up a regular season with a perfect 6-0 record. They accomplished this by playing tough defense all year and having a well-balanced, effective, and efficient offense. And this game was no different against Caldwell. Senior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie threw for 203 yards with 1 touchdown. Senior has been sharp all season. You know, he's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play there. One of the best quarterbacks in CSFL history, quite frankly. You know, he's been a guy who's consistently been shown to make tight window throws. He has a nice command of that offense, you know, despite them not having a star receiver this year and kind of spreading the love around, you know, between 3, 4, 5 different guys. He's been able to consistently find matchups he likes and take advantage of defenses that way, instead of having your traditional, you know, your Tom Williamson, your Donovan Mannion, your Cody Knipe, your Tom Jeffers, you know, having a guy where you know is going to be the focal point. Even if he might not have the most productive day, he's going to be a distraction. He's going to be able to pull coverages, and, you know, you can manufacture them, those type of guys, some yards sometimes. They don't have a guy like that this year, but that hasn't stopped Wilkie from being very, very efficient and very, very effective for the offense. The rise in the running game has been the most surprising thing about this Army offense. It's been something that's been kind of on the back end, back burner the last few seasons because they've had such effective, dominant receivers like Williamson and Mannion back-to-back. I think both of them played with Wilkie. They haven't necessarily had a great running game the last few years, but that's changed this year due in large part to the efforts of freshman running back Arthur Lavalis. He's a guy who is going to, you know, take the league by storm in a few years, and he's already doing so with the limited touches that he does get, getting 87 yards with 2 touchdowns in this one, and he's definitely a guy you're going to want to watch play over the next few years. He's going to be one of the most electrifying players in the CSFL and the MSFL over the next few seasons. So you can bookmark this and remember this 2 years from now when he's leading the CSFL in rushing yards probably, or rushing touchdowns, something crazy like that. But he's going to be a very effective player and is going to be one of the main focal points going into the championship game. Leading receiver on the day was senior wide receiver Maurice Belan. He had 3 receptions, 74 yards, 1 touchdown. He's been a welcomed addition to the Army offense this season and their crop of wide receivers. On defense, senior linebacker Christian Denizio led the team with 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Army will host the CSFL championship game this upcoming Sunday against Navy. Caldwell had a up and down season, to be sure. The momentum they built with 2 straight wins to start the year did not sustain itself as they dropped the last 4 games of their season, including this game to Army. A senior quarterback, Frank DeMeo, threw 433 yards and 1 touchdown in his last outing as a Cougar. You know, DeMeo has been the winningest quarterback in Caldwell's program history. He's been that steady hand they needed at quarterback to kind of get things right with a lot of talent at their skill positions. They needed a guy who was going to be able to consistently produce, consistently throw the ball, you know, in all phases of the game and make the right decisions more times than not, which he has done throughout his career. He will surely be missed, and he graduates as Caldwell's all-time leader in, you know, whatever, passing yards in the season, passing yards in the game, passing touchdowns in the game, season, career. Everything up and down, top to bottom. You can't say enough positive things about DeMeo and what he's meant to this program. And he will surely be missed in that locker room, in that program, and he will be missed in the CSFL as he closes out his career as, safe to say, Caldwell's best quarterback in program history. Senior wide receiver Zaire Mitchell ended his career. Pretty good game, 4 receptions, 472 yards. And on defense, junior defensive back Amajuan Murray led the team with 10 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. So Caldwell ends their season with a 2-4 record. Be interesting to see what they do as they lose a strong crop of seniors. But there's still a lot of talent there to continue being a threat in the CSFL for years to come. Last CSFL game of the weekend, we had Mansfield versus Chestnut Hill. Mansfield wins this one 42-30. My player of the game is junior quarterback Cassid Raymond. He finished the game with 265 yards, two passing touchdowns, 124 yards on the ground with two rushing touchdowns. So four total touchdowns for the junior on this day. Mansfield held off a strong Chestnut Hill attempt at a comeback. They did this with strong play from their upperclassmen, some of whom were seniors in their final game. Again, junior quarterback Sid Ramian played lights out, over 300 yards of total offense and four total touchdowns. You know, the stud quarterback has been a catalyst for the Mansfield offense since his freshman season, and today was no different. You know, Mansfield didn't have the season they would have liked, didn't have maybe some of the offensive production they would have liked, despite finishing the season with a winning record due to Cassid getting injury on the sideline him for some of the season. So I know that was very unexpected, but, you know, we charge it to the game. We all know what we sign up for in that regard. We play a very physical game, but he very quickly came back and righted the ship in terms of Mansfield being able to produce positive offensive production. Didn't quite have maybe the statistical year they would have hoped for that they are going to need him to have to be a major threat in the CSFL, but still was able to produce throughout the season and put his team in a better position to win games and create positive offensive production due to his individual efforts. Saw senior athlete Terrence Quaker ended his career with an all-around performance. Quaker ended the night with 56 rushing yards, one rushing touchdown, three receptions for 65 yards, and a touchdown. So over 100 all-purpose yards for the senior in his final game with two total touchdowns. You know, very similar to Molina. Quaker's a two-sport athlete. He runs track up there and has been a part of some record-setting groups, 4x4, 4x2s, has some very impressive individual efforts as well for the track and field program up there at Mansfield, who runs in the PSAC, which is a very competitive conference in Division II. If you know your East Coast conferences and ball and things like that, you know the PSAC is top-notch, and he's a major contributor for the track program in that tough conference, probably the toughest conference in Pennsylvania, maybe the toughest conference on the East Coast in terms of probably basketball, football, and track. The PSAC is very hyper-competitive, and just a testament to the level of athleticism he brings to the game. Again, similar to Molina, he's been one of the most explosive athletes in the CSFL for the last few seasons. Been a guy who can get it done as a receiver, as a runner, as a bell cow type of running back, or as a weapon X type of running back. You can pick your poison with him. It's been a pleasure to watch him play over these last few seasons. You know, also adding to the fact that he did bounce back from a pretty devastating injury and was able to, you know, retain a lot of that speed and quickness and suddenness that made him the type of player that he is and was. And he's going to go down as one of their most effective offensive weapons. You know, spent his freshman season playing defensive back. He's actually been the best corner they've had in quite some time. But then a very quickly transition as to an offensive player. And he's been their most consistent offensive player the last 4 to 5 years. Is definitely a testament to his individual effort and what he meant to that program. He will surely be missed. He's a good character guy. You know, you want those type of guys in your locker room and in your program to build with. It also helps when they're your best players as well. So he will surely be missed. You know, he's going to go down as, you know, one of their, again, best multi-purpose guys. Might not have the most rushing yards, might not have the most receiving yards, but when you combine the two in terms of all-purpose yards, also has played a role as a primary returner for some years there as well. He's going to be top, near the top for them in all-purpose yards and significance of offensive production. So senior closed out his final game of his career with an impressive showing. Junior wide receiver LaTrenton Randall probably had the best game of his entire career. Three receptions for 143 yards and one touchdown. Huge touchdown reception to open up the game. I believe the very first play to put the Mountaineers in lead, ultimately, which they did not relinquish. On defense, we have another senior signing off. Senior linebacker Matt Robert led the team in tackles with 9. I feel like I've said that about this guy every game, every other game, 2 out of every 3 games for his entire career. You know, even playing with some all-time great guys like a Chase Moser, we played with for a bulk of his career. and some other, you know, talented players scattered in there. Robert seems like he leads the team in tackles. If he's played, you know, 28, 29, 30 games, he's probably led Mansfield in tackles 25 of his, like, 28 games, or, like, 25 of his 29 games in his career there. So, again, said plenty of great things about this guy, but just a testament to the type of linebacker he is. He's the all-time leader in tackles in Sprint football history. So if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, you should do your research, because this guy's been a, like Quaker, great program guy, great high-character guy, type of guy you want in your program who, to build off of and to leave a legacy that, that other young players can chase and look to as the standard. So thank you for his efforts. I know he'll be sorely missed in the Mansfield locker room and program. And he wrapped his career up as, again, one of the best linebackers to ever play in the CSFL and to ever play Sprint football. Mansfield finishes their season with a 4-3 record. Other side of this one, we have CHC, who fought valiantly as they did attempt to complete the comeback, but ultimately couldn't get it done at the end. Senior quarterback C.J. Small, however, did not disappoint in his final game. The senior threw for 239 yards, 3 touchdowns with 2 interceptions in his final game as a Griffin at Chestnut Hill. Excuse me. Small has been a guy who's played in a lot of games, his fair share of games, particularly over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, he split some time with guys, has been able to produce when his number was called, you know, didn't ever start for the full season. But, you know, when you have a guy who is going to be able to compete and going to go out there and produce, it's hard to keep him off of the field. And when you know he's back there, you know, it's one thing when we have a starter and a guy who's just clearly not ready or not going to be capable of playing. But he started when he's played games when he wasn't the senior. You know, Chestnut Hill is a very talented quarterback and sophomore, Anthony Cancellara, and he's continued to still find his way on the field despite Cancellara's high level of play. So, you know, Small is a guy who definitely left a legacy here in terms of showing guys like, hey, you never know when your number's going to be called, but it's better to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And he's taken advantage of every opportunity that's been afforded to him. And he did that in this game, you know, throwing for over 230 with 3 touchdowns in his final crack at it is definitely something to be proud of despite the loss. And he'll be missed in there as a guy who's a high character guy. You know, the guys in there really, really like him as a player and as a young man, high character guy. So wishing him the best in his future endeavors as he signs off in his last game as a Griffin. Junior tight end Nick Ocampo had the best game of his career to end the season. He had 9 receptions for 118 yards and a touchdown. His career high in receptions and yards for the junior tight end, who has been one of the better players for them the last 2 seasons and also one of the better tight ends across the MSFL and the CSFL. Again, tight end is a tricky situation in the CSFL and MSFL. You're not going to find a lot of true tight ends. A lot of teams just hide a guy right there as an extra blocker. You hide a guy right there who has enough hands to catch a 2-yard out in the red zone. You know what I mean? You know, points are points and yards are yards, but there's a difference between guys who get hit at that position and, you know, they might sneak all league or something like that versus a guy who's a legitimate pass catcher, a legitimate blocker, and one of the main catalysts for his team. And again, I bring it to Carlos Munoz Jr. and Nick Ocampo as the standards for tight ends. I'm in the league, particularly in the CSFL, we often go a long time without legit tight ends. You know, you're looking at Joe Buck for Mansfield for a long time. He's probably the best tight end ever. And you had a Ben Klaus for Penn, who I think, you know, maybe eclipsed that a little bit, you know, rewrote the standard, if you will, and the things he was able to do for a Penn program. You know, I had the opportunity to line up against him. And I remember, I think I was at his final game as a senior and I spoke to him for a quick second. It was after a loss, I remember. I said, hey, it may sting right now. I know you're going to, you know, let this fester for a little bit. But whenever you can look at this with a clear mind, I want you to know you're probably the best tight end to ever play in CSFL, which was the only league at that time. And, you know, he's still to this day is probably the best tight end to ever play. So I think Ocampo and Munoz have a chance when it's all said and done to really, you know, rewrite that tight end room when you're looking at the top guys, because, again, there just haven't been a lot. So there's a lot of opportunities for glory there for any guys who may be tight ends in the future. it's definitely a position you should look at because you get offensive production like you get out of Nick Ocampo and Carlos Munoz Jr. as top-tier guys. And Ocampo proved that he is a legitimate tight end and one of the best skill players in the CSFL and the MSFL, if we're being quite honest. And he did that and proved that in this outing today. Defensive side of the ball, sophomore defensive lineman Jonathan Haverlack led the team in tackles with 9, also added 1 tackle for loss. He's been a standout player for the Griffins. I mean, his 2 years of play, he wrapped up his sophomore season, and he's very quickly become their one of their best defensive players and probably their best and most consistent defensive lineman. So be interesting and excited to see him grow and continue to develop as the Griffins ended their losing streak to start the season. 2 victories over Penn after previous 2 seasons going, I believe, 1-18, something of the sort. So had more wins than they've had the last 2 years. Just struggled against some of their other peers in the CSFL. So Chestnut Hill ends their season with a 2-5 record. Now we make our way over to the MSFL. Starting that action off, we have Fompon versus Oakland City. Fompon gets the win 16-14. My player of the game is sophomore linebacker Avion Bass. Had 10 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and 4.5 sacks. So very, very close game. Score tells you what you need to know. Fompon couldn't get anything going to start the game. Mishandled snaps on offense and special teams. Actually gave Oakland City an early lead, I believe 14-0, early lead. Fompon had to claw their way back tooth and nail to get this victory. Freshman quarterback Tamaj Taylor, who had a game, but he did reduce snaps as the game went on. And he was ultimately relieved by sophomore athlete wide receiver Chris Reckle, who was their most productive quarterback last season and has retained those emergency quarterback, backup quarterback duties. And he came in and he was able to produce on offense as a passer and a runner, despite being taken away from his usual receiver position. So the pair threw for 233 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception to go between the two. Most productive offensive target with Reckle being taken away was freshman wide receiver KJ Burns, who's really turned it up in the second half of the season. He ended the game with 4 receptions, 125 yards, and 1 touchdown. So Burns has been a guy who's really come on late. You know, it's always interesting to see which guys pop early and which guys pop late, and how do you weigh that? You know, which guys are maybe taking advantage of defenses, new staff, new players, you know, getting chemistry versus the guys who are able to produce late when teams are set in. They know their identity. Guys know their role. So I think it's a testament to his ability that, you know, despite maybe a start where he's just fitting in and trying to find his place and identity as a freshman, to turn into one of the most explosive offensive producers in the MSFL to finish the year is a testament to the type of player he is and can become for the Griffins offense. On defense, Fompon was led by their stud linebackers, Avion Bass and Clayton Arrowwood. Bass, again, elite game, 10 tackles, 4.5 with 4.5. And Atwood added 8 tackles. Arrowwood added 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 0.5 a sack. Bass actually has now eclipsed the season record for tackles, most tackles in a season. He's currently sitting at 88. So it'll be really interesting to see what his final totals are. You know, I believe Fompon is secured a spot in the playoffs. I'll talk about that at the end. So he could potentially play 2 more games. And as a guy who pretty much averages 10 tackles a game, we might be looking at the first guy to have 100 tackles in a season in CSFL or MSFL history. So that's just a testament to the type of player he is. He's one of the best linebackers between the MSFL and the CSFL. He's either 1 or 2, you know, honestly, 1, 2, or 3. And you have an argument for him being number 1, especially when you incorporate the whole game, right? He can rush the passer, really athletic, fly sideline to sideline, will meet you in the tunnel of truth and let you have it. And he's really effective in the passing game as well, just disrupting passes with his length. One of the tallest linebackers you'll see. And again, he's one of the most athletic bodies I've ever seen at that position as a linebacker, pass rusher. You know, really, I think I said this last week, reminds me of a Troy Monroe, for Navy, who similar build, that 6'2", 6'3" frame, that 6'4", 6'5" wingspan, motor. You know, Monroe was more exclusively an edge guy, you know, even when he did go to linebacker. Bass is man the middle before and very often does, but still just a uber talented player, and can't say enough great things about him and what he means for that Fompon defense. So Fompon finishes their regular season with a 4-3 record. So no official word yet, but I'll explain where some confusion may come in at the end. Other side of this one, we had Oakland City. Oakland City took advantage of turnovers and sloppy play from Fompon to hold the early lead, but Fompon was able to complete the comeback. Freshman quarterback Jacob Lee finishes up his regular season with a 43-yard, two-interception passing performance, added 34 yards on the ground with one rushing touchdown. Again, I think I've, you know, said it enough here. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, you know, just going through those licks as a freshman offense with a freshman quarterback. Freshman running back Jamal Johnson led the team in rushing yards with 71. Johnson's yards and runs, breaking tackles, were actually the most consistent offense the Oaks could find in the game. Where Oakland City has really shined, you know, despite some pretty big scoring differentials, is on the defensive side of the ball with some of their young talent. Freshman defensive back Kanye Johnson has had just the absolute monster of a season. He ended the game with 12 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss with 3 sacks. Just stupid numbers, just video game numbers from the young man. He's been a major producer all year. I think those 7.5 tackles might put him as the most for tackles for loss in a game. I think the record is 7. There was a guy who played for Post who had 9. They've since Post has since transitioned to a traditional Division II team. So of all the current teams in the league, I believe the record is 7, which he, you know, would have eclipsed with a 7.5 tackle for loss performance. So it's just been a monster all season. Whenever you watch them play, he jumps off of the tape within the first 3 or 4 plays on defense. And it's just a bright star for them that if, you know, he continues to develop there, he continues to play there, they'll have a guy who can captain that defense for years to come. And then on the in the different level of the defense, front four, Keith Hall, who had 6 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks, has been that other guy who's just been amazing for them to start off Oakland City's program. Has just been able to produce consistently, rush the passer, consistently live in the backfield. You know, despite, again, some of the scoring differentials they've experienced, these two players have been able to leave a positive impact, which goes to show, you know, team success is team success, right? We all go out there to try to win the game, of course. We all go out there trying to compete and ultimately put ourselves in position to play in big games, whether that be playoff games, championship games, rivalry games, things like that. But football, which is part of the reason I love it, is the ultimate team game made up of individual efforts. You need players to produce. You need guys who are going to win their one-on-one matchup. You know, that's what I tell my guys that I coach. You know, I coach at the school that I'm at right now. I've coached at, you know, another prestigious school out here in the Philadelphia area the last 3 years as well. And I'm a big believer in competition. And I'm a big believer in part of doing your job, right? Alignment, assignment, talk, that type of stuff, is winning your space and beating the man in front of you. Offensive lineman beating the defensive lineman, receiver beating the DV, vice versa, everything and everything in between. And despite the team maybe not having a plethora of success during their inaugural season, you have guys who are making plays. You have guys who are producing against other top talent in the MSFL. That's what you want to see as a team, you know, to flip it to another winless team in the CSFL and Cornell. That's what was missing, right? They didn't really have guys who were winning one-on-one matchups. They weren't winning their space. They weren't winning their bubble. And you can see that. You also see a lack of major statistics. You know, their leading tacklers don't have a bunch of tackles for loss. Their leading pass rushers don't have a lot of sacks. But you have two guys here who, you know, combined have more tackles for loss and sacks than their entire team. So I think this is a testament to you got to get guys. Like, you got to get guys who are going to win their matchup, going to win reps, when you need them to, when you can't necessarily scheme a sack or you can't scheme a touchdown. You need guys who can win and produce. And I think Keith Hall and Kanye Johnson are two steps in the right direction for the Oaks in terms of finding that and integrating those type of guys into their program. So that being said, they did end the season, regular season, with a 0-7 record. And it'll be interesting to see where they can go from here as they continue to develop and mature as a program. Next up, we have St. Mary the Woods College versus Midway. SMWC wins this one 43-14. My player of the game is junior quarterback Jeremiah Toski. He ended the game with 250 yards through the air with four touchdowns and one interception. Two players of the game in this one. Other player of the game, sophomore wide receiver Devron Johnson. Favorite target of Toski on the day. Seven receptions, 137 yards, one touchdown. So St. Mary the Woods College continues to give teams trouble with their high-powered offense. Very effective passing game, electric passing game, stable, talented running backs, and tough defense. Again, Jeremiah Toski, who has been lighting teams up throughout the season, 250 for four, just normal game for him. And his biggest receiving threat, again, was Devron Johnson, who seven receptions, buck 30-plus with a touchdown. That's Johnson's third 100-yard game of the season to lead the MSFL. And potentially the CSFL as well. I have to double check that. But there haven't been a lot of guys to have multiple 100-yard games this year, let alone three. I think there's probably one or two guys who potentially has two. So just goes to show what type of talent he is. You know, he's been a guy who's improved from year one to year two. You know, was a very effective receiver year one. Don't get me wrong. But he went from, you know, I'm an effective receiver to potentially the best receiver in the MSFL and potentially one, two, or three of the best receivers in spring football this season. You know, it'd be hard to pick a guy over him, you know, in all honesty right now. And I believe he leads. He's going to outdo the final regular season totals after, you know, I finished doing all the content for today on this Sunday. But he was, last time I checked, the leader in receptions, yards, and one of the leaders in touchdowns. So he should still be there. And again, with SMWC securing their spot as a host for a playoff game, he has won potentially two more games to add to those totals. So very, very impressed with his development and can't wait to continue to watch him develop and grow this entire Pomeroy's offense as well, but particularly Johnson, who, if he stays on this trajectory, will go down as one of the best receivers of all time between the CSFL and the MSFL. On defense, the Pomeroys were led by freshman linebacker Aaron McClure and freshman linebacker Dalton Payton. The pair combined for 18 tackles with a tackle for loss between the two of them. What really kept Midway out of this game, however, was their stifling defense from their secondary. St. Mary the Woods College had five defenders in the night with one interception. So, wide range of guys were able to contribute to this win, prevent Midway from attempting the comeback. So SMWC hits to the playoffs with a lot of momentum. I believe that's a three-game winning streak since their double overtime loss to Bellarmine. They will face Quincy next week in the first round of the playoffs. Midway is on the other side of this one. Again, they continue to show promise. You know, I cannot say enough, you know, how impressed I am with them this season. To be quite honest, you know, after going winless last year, you know, their two wins this year were against the two new teams, Wash and Oakland City. But even in some of their losses, just their performances have been, you know, competitive. You know, despite the scoring differential, you can see that when you watch enough ball, you just know, and particularly when you're locked in on a certain conference, right, whether your ball is D3 or it's D2, you watch D1, you watch your alma mater. And, you know, when you're a coach and you're a former player, like, you can just see how guys move. You can see how guys shake. You can just see what plays are being called and things like that. And Midway is definitely headed in the right direction. I think that's a safe assumption, where they get guys. And recruiting-wise, they've got guys. You know, I just went on for a little bit about you need guys who are going to be able to win. And they've had that in their last 2 years. You know, some of the players who were there last year, and then some of the new guys they brought in this year, you can just see guys who win one-on-one matchups. They win, you know, altercations in the tunnel of truth. They win one-on-one reps, you know, quarterbacks who can push the ball down the field. They have these things. They just need to be able to consistently produce particularly in tough games. You know, junior quarterback Connor Baker was at the helm in this one. He threw for 61 yards, 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but also had 95 rushing yards on the ground. So just up and down play in this second season. But you see some things that give you some optimism and some hope as they go into year 3. You know, up and down quarterback play has, you know, is always going to affect you positively when it's great, negatively when it's bad. But they've got some guys there who can sling it and have showed you some stuff throughout the season. Sophomore wide receiver Charles Adams was the leading receiver on the day for Midway. He ended the day with 2 receptions for 66 yards. And on defense, some of their younger guys, like freshman defensive lineman Peyton Brazier, who's been pretty impressive throughout the season. He led the team with 8 tackles and 1 tackles for loss. And sophomore linebacker Luke Guerrero added 8 tackles, 0.5 tackles for loss with 1 fumble recovery and 1 forced fumble. And I think he may be the Midway's leading tackler to end the season. Got to look at some final tallies there. But those two guys have been names you've heard pretty regularly for this Midway defense. And a Brady Bond for them as well. I think he had an interception on the day. Has been a guy who's especially played very, very strong in this second half of the season. So Midway ends their regular season with a 2-5 record. Final action of the weekend, we had Bellarmine versus Quincy. Quincy wins this one 28-18. And I said it, I called it last week in saying this was probably going to be the game of the week. And I think it's safe to say that it was when you look at the rest of the scoring differentials. Scoring margins, you know, Fompon, Oakland City was very, very close. But most of the other games had a team, you know, despite being close throughout the game, eventually pull away towards the end or near the end. Chestnut Hill, Mansfield was pretty exciting as Chestnut Hill tried to complete that comeback. But Quincy versus Bellarmine was tight all the way through. My player of the game was freshman quarterback Deuce Alloway. He had 104 yards through the air with a touchdown. Added a rushing touchdown as well with 9 net yards by the end of it. So Quincy's played strong defense all season. I might even argue that they might be the most underrated defense as a unit between the two leagues. And just because, you know, it did start off kind of slow, but strong defenses that they played throughout the year in all 3 levels has kept them in games and, you know, kept them competitive. And, you know, you look at this MSFL, which has so many explosive offenses, so many dynamic players from, you know, your Toski in that passing game with SMWC to Brandon Reed and the Knights. And, you know, Fompon has an array of wide receivers with Taylor who can really sling it. And they've been able to play tough defense against all of these guys and all of these top players. So that's a testament to what they have there. I think I don't know if it's talked about enough, you know, how good this defense has been playing, particularly down the stretch. And this defense got them to win over Bellarmine and give Bellarmine their first loss of the season. Again, freshman quarterback Deuce Alloway, who's been the guy this second half of the season, continues to play real steady, not always lighting it up compared to his other quarterback peers. But, you know, he plays well enough for them to produce positive offensive production and keep them in the game. Again, 104 in this one with a touchdown, 1 rushing TD. He did rush for more yards, lost a lot on some sacks and some runs that couldn't go anywhere. But he's been a guy who's been able to utilize his legs. Again, similar to a Brandon Atwood for Navy, is a guy who can extend plays and keep his eyes down the field and get those timely runs. So might not get a lot of design quarterback runs. Atwood and Alloway both get some, but not nearly as much as you would look at for, a Cassid Raymond in that situation. But is a guy who's going to be able to make you respect the fact that he can run and get some positive yards for his offense. The running game has been really, really good for the Hawks all year, too. This one, the leading rusher was freshman running back Trevon Hegler-Wright, who led the team with 89 rushing yards. C.J. Jackson, who's been their bell cow, had a lot of rushing yards on the day, too, but he lost quite a few of his total net yards on some tackles for loss that Bellarmine was able to get. But he also did have a rushing touchdown to add to his high season total. C.J. Jackson is near the top of the league, top of both leagues in rushing touchdowns for the year. Freshman linebacker Sawyer Mulheron led the team in tackles with 10. He's been a guy who's been able to produce, particularly later in the season. So Quincy will match up with St. Mary of the Woods College in the first round of the MSFL playoffs next week. So Bellarmine is on the other side of this one. They were able to stay close, but they could not get the victory. Freshman quarterback Luke Worley, who's been impressive pretty much every game after those first two games, threw for 133 yards, one touchdown and one interception. His improvement throughout the season has been a major catalyst for them, particularly as they deal with some injuries and shuffling some guys around. Graduate linebacker for most of the year, Devin Hendricks, who was a major contributor on offense last season as like a multi-purpose guy, like a Terrence Quaker, like a Reno Molina, has had to go back to offense due to some injuries in the backfield. And he has been able to produce like he never left. He finished the night as leading rusher for the Knights with 73 yards. On defense, sophomore linebacker Caleb Murray, who's been one of their best players and most consistent players, even dating back to last season, had a nice game. 12 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. Murray's been a guy who's been able to produce and is cementing the fact that he's one of the better linebackers in the CSFL and the MSFL, you know, captaining this defense for two seasons now, and has been a guy who's a threat to get double-digit tackles and is going to really, really affect offenses and get into their backfield and make stuffs in the tunnel of truth when his number is called. It's always a fun linebacker to watch. Probably one of my favorite linebackers to watch whenever I do turn into the MSFL and their matchups. One of his running mates, freshman linebacker Alan Ho, has been a guy who's been pretty strong throughout the season as well. Added 9 tackles with 2 tackles for loss. So Bellarmine is still in the mix despite the loss, and they will host a first round playoff game next week. So if you know your MSFL ball, you maybe even noticed I did not mention two of our teams. Walsh and CCSJ were scheduled for a matchup over the weekend. Fortunately, that matchup was canceled. So CCSJ and Walsh did not play this weekend. That being said, obviously we don't know the outcome of what that game would have been. But CCSJ was sitting with a 3-3 overall record. If they did manage to beat Walsh, that would have put them at 4-3. That, I believe, is the same record that Fontbonne has. So that is where the confusion is, at least for me, until an official announcement is made. Is Fontbonne, you know, do they get the bid at 4-3 automatically? What's interesting there as well is because Camelette did beat Fontbonne two or three weeks ago. So if they did play Walsh and won, were they automatically in? Because they have the same record as Fontbonne, but they beat them. That's, you know, you start getting into all of those questions. So I said, you know, Bellarmine will host a playoff game. They have the second best record in the MSFL. I think both them and SMWC finished their regular season at 6-1, so they should be the 1 and the 2 seed. Quincy is in because Quincy finishes their season, I believe, 5-2. So they're the number 3 team in the league. The number 4 team in the league should be between CCSJ and Fontbonne. But how that works is, you know, a little bit up in the air right now because CCSJ didn't get to play Walsh. Now, if Walsh wins, it might just be as easy as, hey, they don't get in, they're 3-4. Despite beating Fontbonne, they're 3-4. You know, it might have just been that. So we'll never know with that matchup. But I am interested to see how that will shake out, what that will look like. So I'm sure there'll be, either from the team pages themselves or the MSFL, an official like, all right, here's your 1, 2, 3, 4 matchup, and then the rest of the, you know, playoff weekend matchups as well. So that's what I had meant a little bit earlier with when we started our MSFL talk, like how that's going to go. I'm not exactly sure, but we should find out in the coming days. So that ends our action for week 8. It was our final week of the regular season, an eventful week. You know, we're sending off some all-time great seniors for some of these programs in the CSFL, guys who left a legacy that will outlive them and that will, you know, be forever written down in, you know, the halls of glory in the CSFL. And, you know, their individual efforts mean so much to these programs. Some of these players have helped put programs on the map. You know, some of these players have helped contribute to the winningest era in their program's history, and lots of guys have left it all out, left it all on the line. Now I'm being able to see a lot of these guys grow from me just exiting the CSFL, some of these guys entering their freshman seasons, to be able to see them play and grow and develop has been, you know, awesome. And they've turned into some of my favorite players to watch as a fan. So thank you for all of your efforts, seniors, you know, even those guys who maybe are at the back end of the roster who found ways to contribute. You know, your efforts will be very much missed and are very much appreciated for you. I mean, very much appreciated by your programs that you got to play in for those 3 to 4 to potentially some of you guys a fifth year with COVID. So thank you for all you have done for Sprint football to help it grow, and hope you guys achieved all that glory you were looking for as a college football player. In the MSFL, we are getting ready. Oh, so the CSFL next week will conclude with a championship matchup between Army and Navy at Army. So that'll be interesting. Again, I'll do a write-up for that and preview of that probably sometime this week. Maybe you're looking at a Wednesday or a Thursday drop. They will be playing on Sunday, whereas the MSFL will get into their playoff action, their playoff tournament. I believe the bottom tier teams may still have some matchups as well. But our top four teams will be going into that traditional playoff format with a semifinal and a final, which I must say I absolutely love. You know, I spent some time talking to, catching up with some guys who I played against in the CSFL. We were at the Penn Navy game over the weekend and ran into some old coaches as well. And that's, you know, I must commend the MSFL for everything they're doing in terms of pushing the sport forward, you know, making things interesting, making things more entertaining, extending the season. And, you know, I think the MSFL is headed in the right direction. I think they are doing everything the right way that you would want to see from our sport. And I think sooner rather than later, you know, I'll go out on a limb and say, you call it a hot take or whatever, but I think sooner rather than later, the MSFL is going to be the premier, you know, conference of Sprint football. I think it's just they're doing everything that players want to see. Like, they were hyper interested in cross play, and Bellarmine was getting that going with AB before they, you know, unfortunately had to discontinue their athletic programs. And there's a playoff system which players in the CSFL have been wanting for years, and CSFL went 70 years and 80 years finally added a championship game. I think the MSFL is going to be more interesting as the years go on, as they continue to develop, and with colleges in the Midwest. And, you know, I just want to commend the MSFL, the teams, the players, the coaches for everything they're doing. I know there are a lot of CSFL players and coaches who would like to do more, whose hands are kind of tied. So don't think I don't know, you know, and appreciate you guys wanting to push the sport forward as well. But, you know, we are where we are. We got what we got. And the MSFL is in a situation where they're going to be able to push the envelope a little bit more going forward, with the years going forward. So there is a lot of exciting news in the CSFL, however, that I will do a write-up on probably some point this week as well. For those of you who don't know, I won't spoil it, but there's some exciting news coming out of CSFL as well. So that's our CSFL and MSFL action to end the regular season. It feels great to see all of these great teams and players go out there and produce. And with all of these stakes in both leagues for a lot of these teams, it has been awesome to watch as a fan and cover as a reporter. So next week, we have our CSFL championship game to cap that season. We have our first round of the MSFL playoffs along with their playoff tournament. And then the following week, we'll have our MSFL championship game, I believe, on November 18th. So as always, I am your host, Kyle. It's been awesome covering the regular season with you. Can't wait to cover the postseason. I will talk to you guys next week. Peace.